And so, decade, but I mean, the 3 decades you worked there, you would have seen the 50s and the 60s as very productive, and then factory or the mills going very well. And then things, started changing.
In the last decade, it was I was very unhappy. A matter of fact, I asked the production manager for a transfer. I never thought I'd say do a thing like that.
Transfer to where now?
Into any other bloody department at this stage.
Okay,
I didn't
you
care.
just didn't want that responsibility
No, I
anymore.
didn't want to know. Because when we started the Raider House, way back before, in the 60s, there were 3 people. There was Mr. Ging, who was a fitter by trade, an expert man. He had a foreman under him, Tommy O'Neill, and he had me doing this all this clerical work. Over the years, Tommy Ging was promoted up to power plant manager. He was up in the boiler house where all the steam was generated and all the rest of it, and the switch gear was up, turbines and all the rest of it was up there. That left me set with Tommy O'Neill. Next thing is Tommy O'Neill died, and I was left on my own.
Well, so you took on
And I had all this responsibility, dealing with the engineers and the sales and all, bloody lot of them. And when they asked for a transfer out of us, maybe around 1978 or 9, whatever it was, before the mill shut, I was told, out the street, "What other bloody agent would have your job," he says. That was a grand thing to say.
Who said that to you?
The production manager.
Oh, I see.
"What other bloody agent would have your job," he says.
Because so it was obviously a very, it wasn't a job that was easy to take.
No, I tell you, I felt very secure in my job because no one else wanted it.
But you had to be a certain kind of person to stand up to all the, the abuse that you would get.
It took quite a lot.
And you finally retired. When did you retire, tell me?
Well, I didn't retire. I was made redundant, the same in 1981.
Oh, you stuck it out to the end then?
Oh, yeah.
And then when the workers regrouped and went back in, you went back in again with them?
Well, when we went back in again, it was a much smaller operation.
Yeah.
A much smaller operation when it was never really going to work out because the mill was too old, too small.
And why did you go back in again?
I went back in production planning. Now, it wasn't for all the planning that was to be done, to be honest with you. It was a much, much smaller operation than them later on. Then it just folded up a second time.
I see.
That was it.
Before I finish, I just wanted to just, can you recall some of the people that worked with you?
I recall one chap, Paddy Grimes, who worked on a re-slitter. An excellent man. He had been he had been in the British Army. He came to work in the mill anyway. And he had to chair. There was a new man starting on his reeler. And Paddy was able to write out instructions in longhand. He showed me in a copy book of how to run the reeler and all the rest. It was very, very good. I never had to tell him to do anything. You gave him his work, but you didn't. He did it. Another fellow we had there was Joe Warren. And Joe came along one day and he said he was due a 3rd week's holidays, barely. Because spring week or something, I don't know what it was anyway. Anyway, he was due his holidays anyway. And he got notice in his pay packet apparently that he had to take the holidays shortly, next week or something. So anyway, he came along and to me and told me that he was taking his holidays. He had to take the holidays. And now this particular guy, he did walk in the wheeler house, for the wheeler house, but his machine was in the cutter house for cutting the cardboard centres. And down there just asked him, why don't you tell the ship fitter or the ship foreman that you're taking your holidays? And Joe said, well, I don't know who my boss is, he says. Just came in and did walk, and I'm not sure who my boss is. Now, this was after years and years.
I see.
And but next in walk,
yeah.
We had a look of another fellow, Joe Callahan, and lots of Larry Bain, Jerry Lamb, a top class man if ever there was one. Billy Skidmore, you'd know him.
Mm-hmm.
He used to play the bagpipes on the pressure hose on the machine. He had been in the army, I believe, up in Baldonnell. And he was in a pipe band, I think. Anyway, we had a pressure hose on the machine for blowing air onto the paper and that. And he used to get a go, and he'd think he was playing the bagpipes in it. Old Kit Steins. There was never any problem with the men I had. Except three of them today, but you'd always get that. I mean, no, you can't get a whole lot perfect, you know.
Would you do it all over again, Billy?
Yeah. Because I would have hated that Tommy's job. I couldn't imagine myself walking up in a... I was a clerk, but I couldn't imagine myself going in every day and sitting down at a desk with a pen in front of me and writing out something. There was always something different where I was.
Yeah.
And there was always someone giving out to you, or that's praising you, one or the other. mostly praise.
Yeah.
Now, Miss Cusick, who would have been a sister of the chief executive, Dr. Cusick, she was in charge of the number 3 machine in the mill at the time. And I remember one day she came in and said to me, Billy, says she, you have a good memory. Now, something happened years beforehand. Whatever it was, something happened with one particular customer. And she said, I remembered what it was. And no one else would seem to remember. It was something special in the way he wanted the paper wound or something. But I remember Miss Curtis coming down to me and telling me that you have a good memory, which I had.
recall the way the paper was done.
I got on well with all the foremen down there.
Yeah.
And all the ship foremen for the paper making machine and for the cutter house and all the rest of it. I was right in the middle.
Okay.
I got on well with them all.
Billy, it was a pleasure talking to you. So, Billy Phelan, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks.